Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from the UK is Andre Bywater of Quarterly Compliance. Andre has been a past guest of the podcast and a frequent speaker of our meetings. And today we're going to be tackling the issue of Brexit, specifically the GDPR context and what likely impacts they're going to be. Andre, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and let me dive right in. Until the UK and EU finally go their separate ways, I assume we all should expect to follow GDPR, correct?
Yes, that's broadly right. It is in very much business as usual. We are not only living in this pandemic, but we're in this period called the transition period, the implementation period, which takes us up until the 31st of December of this year. And basically in that transition period, all your kind of core compliance issues with GDPR, they're all still there. They haven't gone away. So your privacy policies, everything you're doing about transferring data, people's rights like subject access and doing things like data impact assessments, notifying a regulator of breaches, all that is still there. It hasn't gone away. What is a bit different though, is we're in a bit of a gray zone on the kind of institutional side. Every EU country has its own data protection regulators. Some have more, like the Germans, for example. And the UK's position with its regulator, the ICO, is that it's sort of half in and half out. It can attend meetings at the sort of Brussels level of what's called the European Data Protection Board, but it can only be an observer. And it's made statements saying it wants to be part of what's called compliance and consistency, making sure that data protection decisions are, you know, the same throughout the EU. But it's not really clear how all of that's really going to work. So that's a bit of an odd one and is a bit of uncertainty for businesses. And the other thing that's going on or not going on, maybe as this may be the case at the moment, is the EU and the UK are negotiating for what's called an adequacy decision. So by the end of this year, we shall see, the EU is supposed to have, or we hoped to have come to a decision to say, yes, they recognise UK as having a good and proper data protection scheme, if you like, good system, which you think will be the case as we have GDPR. But I think there are going to be some bumps in the road on that. So that's really one to follow. We shall see.
We shall. Now, what's anticipated after the transition period finishes at the end of December 2020? Is it anticipated the UK will go a very different route? It sounds like they won't because of they're looking at this adequacy decision. Or, you know, should we assume that we're going to end up with a UK law very similar to GDPR?
Well, the first thing is you're right. On your last point, the UK will, whatever happens, will have adopted, they say, a new law. Basically, what they have to do is they have to kind of pull in all the bits of GDPR into our existing law. As you rightly said, with the adequacy decision, a lot hinges on that. The big issue will be data transfers. So me sending from my business data from the UK to what are the EU 27, or the other way around, data going from the EU 27 to the UK. Now, the EU says if you're sending data from the EU 27 to the UK, once the transition period has ended, you will have to put special measures in place. These are the things that we call model clauses. That's the usual approach. The UK is a bit more relaxed. They're saying, well, no, we're relaxed for the moment. Post-transition period, that should be okay. Things can carry on as normal. In terms of whether things would change radically, well, we have had some high sort of level political statements about claims that things would be different. But I personally don't quite see what. I mean, if they try and relax things in the UK, then that probably would affect the adequacy decision. And yet if they go the other way, if they feel like gold plate, where they would say have stronger sanctions or something like that, I suppose that's a possibility. But we haven't really heard anything on that. They could introduce a few new things. They did already with the existing UK law. So we shall see.
Now, are there any additional UK-specific privacy laws compliance teams need to be concerned about? For example, will there be a specific UK-US privacy shield?
Yes, no, that's a very good point, because The whatever happens, adequacy or not, the UK is still going to have to make some changes to adjust to the new situation. And you're absolutely right. For something like data going from the UK to the US, probably what will happen is we will replicate the current EU US privacy shield. So we'll have our own, if you like, photocopy law in the UK. And similarly, if you're going to do things like use model clauses that I referred to before, these special types of clauses for data transfers, probably we'll also have our own kind of UK photocopy of those. One key thing that you need to keep your eye on the ball about, though, is if you are in the UK and you've not got an office or anything like that in, let's say, the EU27, but you are either selling goods or services to people in those countries, or you're monitoring their behavior, you'll have to appoint what's called a data representative in one of those countries. So there are going to be some changes like that that will come about.
Now, what about possible problem areas after the end of the transition period, such as legacy data or the always thorny issue of consent?
Yes, there are a few possible areas there that we'll have to be careful with. The legacy data one is a funny one. There's a very special, almost peculiar provision in the agreement that the UK has with the EU about the transition and the period going beyond, which says that you've got the UK will have to apply GDPR to what's called the, if you like, the current stock of personal data about people who are outside the UK, but where the data is processed in the UK. This is really quite an odd provision, but it's only, I think, going to be a problem if we don't get an adequacy decision. And then, yes, consent. There has been a bit of debate about this. There's nothing provided for in the rules at the moment. We don't see anything in the guidance about this. But some people are saying, well, it could be argued that you gave consent for something to happen to your data, like a data transfer. But now that we've gone post-Brexit, the situation's different, there's more risk and so on. So there could be a few issues there. But yeah, there are a few things like that to sort of keep tabs on.
Now, as if compliance people didn't have enough else to think about these days with so much in up in the air, what top practical things should they be thinking about now, about doing prior to the end of this year's transition period?
Well, the data transfer issue is definitely one to keep your eye on, whether that's, as I said, transfers from the UK to the US or the UK to the EU and so on. I think that's probably one to be at the top of your list. The second one will probably be who's my regulator? As I've said, we've got this now, this sort of grey area with the UK as a regulator within, well, not within the EU system, but sort of playing an observing role. And what does that really mean? So I think you're going to have to think about that. So if you've got operations in the UK and other European countries, you're going to have to think about who your regulator is and what you might need to do about that. And then there'll be a kind of what I might call tidying up exercise to do, where your privacy policy, you're going to have to change a few things there. Maybe if you're doing a data protection impact assessment, you've got some little things to tidy up there. There's going to be that to do. I think those are probably the sort of main things to think about.
Yeah, the COVID-19 pandemic obviously has changed a lot of things. I honestly have not seen any coverage, at least on this side of the Atlantic, of changes to the Brexit timeline. Do you think there's likely to be much change, or is the Brexit train left the station and it's not stopping?
I think it will have to stop that train because I'm not saying the whole of Brexit would stop, but the timeline is this. We've the end of January was that big date when the UK, inverted commas, left the EU. And then they had 11 months from then to negotiate the next big deal, if you like, by the end of this year. That was already a very tight deadline. And the EU kept saying, look, you know, you're going to have to reconsider, you're going to have to think about this. But the UK said, no, it's enshrined in our law and our parliamentary law that, you know, Brexit means Brexit, as Mrs. May used to say. And as Boris was saying, Boris Johnson, you know, we we have to sort of make Brexit work and so on. So they are saying that that deadline can't be extended. But realistically, of course, not much has happened in terms of the negotiations. And if there were to be an extension to the end of this year's deadline, that has to be in place by the 30th of June. I say has to be in place. So prior to that, you're going to have some negotiation. And you may remember the whole circus we had last year of one deadline and another deadline. Would the EU agree to this? Would the UK Parliament agree to that? And so on. So although the current government has a very big majority and could simply change an act of parliament to extend the deadline, of course, this would be a really difficult thing for the UK government politically to swallow after all their promises of making Brexit a reality. But I think the reality is that we're just not going to get the deal done with the EU in the next few months. My personal view is that there will have to be some kind of extension. This is, of course, assuming that the EU would agree to one, and there have already been noises of some people saying, well, we're not so happy, and so on. But you know, even if we got a deal this year and there was no extension, it was going to be a very narrow range deal. And all that will happen is we'd have to have, you know, more negotiations to get more deals. So again, that was a long way around answering your question to say, I do think realistically they're going to have to make a decision, you know, in May sometime to say whether they're going to ask for an extension or not. But it will be a big political one for them to swallow in the UK.
It definitely sounds like it, and it definitely sounds like, you know, amidst all the other changes that we're facing globally, this is one that both predates the pandemic and will likely be something affecting compliance programs for many years to come.
Oh,
Well,
for sure.
Andre, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Chittletout from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.